All right, Shavuot say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Lamed. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Said and Sima Haken in honor of the birth of their newest grandson, Baruch Hashem, to their children, David and Yael. Mazel tov, yishevizoch, lachniso b'riso sh'arma avinu, bizmano. Mazel tov. Ha'osai and Ashir of Kushiyarim, of course, this month are dedicated by Leah Sol and the Zuchus of Rafu Shlima for her daughter Ilana Bas Esther. We hope that on the merit of our Talmud Torah, she will enjoy a complete and enduring Rifua. All right, Ha'osai, with that, let's begin. We are picked today's daf is Lamed 30. We really have a lot to do today. Get too carried away with the Piaget's. No, there's not enough time. We're going to start at 5:30, I think. I suppose say so. Who's in? Okay, good. So we're picking up Chav Tes Amud Beis 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. So let's remember again, we're dealing with the fascinating and riveting machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about Yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'atzof or Inu l'shchita mitchila v'atzof. But say, how do we categorize or halachically? Yeah, how do we categorize? What's the framework of shchita? The shchita process that begins with the first incision on the neck and ends with the cutting of the robe of the two simanim, or do we say shchita really represents the result, the culmination of the process? So we'll say ultimately again we've begun to see some of these nafkaminas, and we ended off yesterday in the middle of a discussion of paraduma with which we are going to pick up today. Amar Rava, ikashli. So we'll say, so Rava said as follows: if you have a kasha, here's my kasha. Ikashli. According to the opinion who says that the process of shchita only is at the end, and I would as well say that shchita represents a process that culminates when the cutting of the simanim is complete. Liflog bach shara depara. Then I will say, ultimately, again, let's make the nafkamina case in a case instead of where the paraduma is invalid, but where the paraduma is valid. How so? So the Gemara says, kigon deshachtua betray gavri. Let's say, for example, let's say two people shechted the para aduma together. Watch this. Degavra kamala matzama. So we'll say, again, remember, if you hold inu l'shchita al labasof, so ultimately, again, the first guy does not become tameh because his initial act is not considered to be halachically valid, but it's not considered to be shchita, because inu l'shchita al labasof, degavra basra matzama. And the second guy who essentially finishes the shchita, ultimately, again, would become tameh. Omer Rav Yosef, are you talking about two people shechting the same carbon? So don't bring up that case. Why not? Tizbach, from the word tizbach, we learn that two people cannot go ahead and shecht one carbon. We'll say, so we're gonna discuss this halacha in greater depth. Tizbachuhu, shaloihe echad shochet shnei zvachim. And we'll say from tizbachuhu, we learn that what? One person should not simultaneously shecht two carbonos. Abayi says, did we not talk about, so we had this drasha of Tizbachehu yesterday. Did we not learn about this? Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, Stimsoi, top of Lamed. Ava Chachamim Omrim, Beis Shocht and Zevach Echad. The Chacham Sirabo say that Halacha Lamaisa, two people can shecht one carbon. And we'll discuss this in greater depth. Ulu Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Nami Liflog. So it's even quite Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who says that two people can't shecht one carbon. I can still give you a case of two people by paraduma. What's the case? Here we go. Kigon, deshachat chad gavra b'shnei sudarim. Well, so listen to this. Remember, when it comes to paraduma, anyone who's participating in the shechita of the para, for that matter, any process of the para, so the person and his clothing become tameh. So watch this. I can set up a case of one person with two hats, right? Or one person literally, again, with two turbans. How so, Bosei? Desudir kama lomatama. So Bosei, watch this. Let's say, again, he's in the middle of the shchita. Mamish, he's got a wardrobe team. And in the middle of the shchita, he's got a turban change going on. So he starts the shchita with one turban, ends the shchita with a different turban. If you hold, that's what? Inu l'shchita el lebasof. Desudir kama lomatama. Then Bosei, if that's the case, the first turban would not become tame. Bless you. And the second turban would become tamei. I will say why? Because remember again, it's basof. We're determining. Remember again, all of this would be. This is all according to the shita of ena l'shchita el lebasof. So the Gemara says ela bepisula de para kamayri bachshar lo kamayri. So which the Gemara says no. The way we set up the cases, we're only talking about invalid cases of para aduma. We're not talking about cases of para aduma where things go well. Okay, master avidi baravin. Ubemoed lishmo pater, shalom lishmo chayev. So we'll say, here we come to another very interesting case. Look at Rashi. Ubemoed lishmo pater. Rashi says, b'shochet ha-pesach ala chametz kais. Listen, look at this Rashi. We're talking about now, we'll say, the halacha is that you are not permitted to shecht the Karban Pesach when there is the presence of chametz. And if you shecht the Karban Pesach when you are in possession of chametz, ultimately, again, that is a lav d'oraisa. That is a biblical prohibition. So Rashi said, look at that Rashi. B'moid l'shmo pater. B'shochet ha-pesach ha-chametz kai. Perk tamid nishchat. Umrabinon hasam l'shar zvachim. Sheshachton b'pesach ha-chametz. So the Gemara in Pesachim explains that the prohibition to go ahead and shecht a karban while you are in the possession of chametz is not just a din by Karban Pesach, but in fact, it's a din by any carbon on Pesach. And Rashi continues and he says, Shalok ela mishom lo tishchot ha-chametz. V'kam Rav Shimon, sha-shochet Pesach b'soch ha-moed. So we'll listen to this case. What happens if a person shechts a carbon Pesach during Yom Tiv? Now, what does that mean, shecht a carbon Pesach during Yom Tiv? So what does that mean? Listen to this. Kigon, sha'avad ba'ar ba'asar. We'll say, here's the case. I separated out a carbon Pesach on Erev Yom Tiv, on the 14th of Nisan. And then what happens? I lose the animal. I lose my Karban Pesach. And as a result, behekriv achar tachtov. I offer up another replacement animal instead of my lost Karban Pesach. Then what happens? V'nimtza rishom amoid. I then find the first animal, the first original Karban Pesach, during Pesach itself. And then what happens? V'shachto l'shmo. And then I shechted l'shmo. We'll say l'shmo means what? I have in mind to offer it as a Karban Pesach on Pesach itself. Al chametz, and I will say the problem is that I'm also, unfortunately, in possession of chametz. So what's the halacha? Pater, du zavach posel, du lochazi shalol bismano lishmo. So we'll say, so that's the case over here. So ubemoed, so we'll say, here's the case. One more time. I set aside an animal as a Karban Pesach. Then what happens? Unfortunately, I lose it. I separate out another replacement animal. I offer up the replacement animal. Good, shalom ayisra. Then what happens? Chalamayit comes. I find my original Karban Pesach. Then what happens? I offer it up as a Karban Pesach. I have in mind. I will say, obviously, that's problematic. There's no such thing as a Karban Pesach during Pesach. But that's what I did. I offered it up as a Karban Pesach on Pesach. And to make things worse, I'm in possession of chametz. So I will say, so the shaila is, have I violated the prohibition of offering up karbanos while in the possession of chametz or not? So the Gemara says, Rav Yehudi bar Avin says, ubemoed lishmo, if I offer up this lost and now found Karban Pesach for the sake of Karban Pesach, and I'm in possession of chametz, I am pater. I'm pater. We'll say why? Because offering up a Karban Pesach during Pesach is a Karban pasul. It's an invalid Karban. Because it's an invalid Karban, therefore what? I am not chayiv for offering up a Karban while being in the possession of chametz. Shalom v'shmo chayiv. If I offer up that lost and now found Karban Pesach, and I don't offer it up the Karban Pesach, rather I offer it up Shalol L'shma. In this context, Shalol L'shma means what? As a Shlamim, then I am Chayiv. I'm Chayiv for sacrificing, for offering up a Karban during Pesach while in the possession of Chametz. And we asked about this. The reason ultimately I'm Chayiv because I explicitly offered it up Shalol L'shma, not for the sake of Karban Pesach, Hastama Potter. We'll say, but if I offered it up without any explicit intention, it would appear that it would have the status of a Karban Pesach, and I would be Potter for offering it up while in the possession of Chametz. Va'amai Potter. Why would that be so? Pesach b'shari mos hashana shlamim hu. We'll say, ultimately again, Pesach during the rest of the year has the status of a shlamim. So even if I offered up shalom l'shmo, would not the default be that what? That is a shlamim. And therefore I should be chayiv ultimately for offering it up while in the possession of chametz. To which the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, Shema mina, Pesach b'shari mos hashana b'yakira. We'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that even a Karban Pesach during the rest of the year needs an active identity uprooting. Right? That when you offer it up, Rabbi Osai, it's not just enough to offer it up stam, but you have to explicitly offer it up not l'shem Pesach, i.e. l'shem shlamim. So the Gemara says, so also Rabbi Chiya says, you know, means the group, the Chabura, offered the following explanation. V'amru, hachamai asking, Rabbi Osai, what's the case here? Kigon shayu bailim tnei mesim, the nitchin lepesach sheni, the stama lishmokai. Oh, now we'll say, watch this. What's the case? The case over here is where the people who lost the original Karban Pesach were Tmei Mesim. Rosh said, because they're Tmei Mesim, so what happened? Right? They couldn't offer the Pesach anyway, which means that when they find the Pesach on Chalamayid, so therefore, what Rosh said, this Pesach is really fit for when? For Pesach Sheni. So it is a fit Karban Pesach. And therefore, again, Halacha L'maaseh, it's in this kind of case, where in order to uproot its Pesach identity, you need an active Akira. The Stam L'shmokai, V'haihu Debay Akira, Ha'acher lo bay akira. And it's only this type of Karban Avosai that requires an active uprooting, identity uprooting. But Stam, another Karban Avosai, that would be the Halacha, that ultimately, again, if you offer it up during Chol HaMoed, where it can no longer be offered up as an active Karban Pesach, by default, the Karban Pesach identity is uprooted, and it is now a Shlamim. So we'll say, so what does it have to do with any of us? With what we're learning? Here we go. If Salei Mitchilas Shchita. So we'll say, if you hold that the process of Shchita, ultimately, again, is a continuum. It begins with the initial cutting of the animal, right? And continues until when? Until the cutting of the two Simanim. Then we'll say, this case makes sense. Why? If Salei Mitchilas Shchita, because we will say, as soon as you begin the beginning of that Shchita, then what? Then Halacha L'maisa, it's no longer fit as a Karban Pesach. So it makes sense. Ela'i Amrit Inu L'Shchita Ela Basovra. We will say, if you hold that Shchita only occurs, or really only culminates at the end, Kevan D'Shachet Be'Purta. So I'm sorry. So we will say, what we said before makes sense if you hold that what? That Halacha L'maisa, Yesh L'Shchita Mitchila Vat Sof. However, if you hold Eino L'Shchita Ela Basof, then Kevan D'Shachet Be'Purta, as soon as you begin to shecht a little bit, what happens? Itchilei Mi Pesach. It is automatically excluded from Karban Pesach. Idach Ki Kashachet Shlamim Kashachet. And therefore, I will say, ultimately, the rest that you're shechting, is by definition what? Is by definition going to be a Shlamim. So I will say, if you hold Yeshna L'Shchita Mitchilei Vatsof, then the moment you shecht it l'shem Pesach, it's pasul. If you hold ina l'shchita ela l'basof, you could say that what? Once you begin to shecht it a little bit, then what? Rabbi say it can no longer be offered up as a Karban Pesach because it's chalamayim. So what does it become if it's not a Karban Pesach? It could become a shlamim and therefore can be kosher. So Amar Abaye mihidi itchli mi Pesach midmei Pesach mi itchit, which Abaye says, one second. Even if you want to say that the carbon is set aside, ultimately again, from being a Karban Pesach, then what? Then Halacha L'maisa Midimei Pesach, from the value of the Pesach, it's not a Tzedabosai. Before we go on, just take a quick look at Rashi. In the intermediate lines in Rashi, I Amrit B'Shlama Yeshna L'Shchita Mitchila Vatzof, If Selei B'Tchilas Shchita, Distami Habe L'Pesach, Detchilas Shchita Nami Pasach. So we'll say, remember again, if you hold Yeshna L'Shchita Mitchila Vatzof, the Shchita is a continuum. So in this case, I will say, where I lost my Karban Pesach, I find it on Pesach. I begin to shecht it l'shem Pesach. Rabbi say that initial cut in the animal, in the neck of the animal, even before I did anything, that initial shecht, that initial shechita is halachically significant. What do I have in mind? What is it for? Karban Pesach. That animal is pasul. And if I have chametz, I'm not going to be chayy for that. Masha inkein, if you hold that eino l'shechita ela l'basof, Rabbi say that means what? That means at the time that I begin the Shechita, so I'm not yet doing a halachically valid act. Which means what Rabbi say? That by the time Rashi says, Eli'i amet lo paslat gimar Shechita, hagamar Shechita lav pesachavi, tekevam deshachet peporta, velo ichsi l'shehavi le pesach sheni, itchi le pesach. Rabbi say, because in that case, the moment you begin the Shechita, and it's not fit to be a Pesach, it becomes something else. What's the something else it becomes in this particular context? Is shlamim. And if it becomes a shlamim, it should be good. To which the Gemara says, one second. Even though you can't use this as a Karban Pesach, it still has a Pesach value. It still has what we call Dmei Pesach. We'll say, so look at the first wide line in Rashi. Mid Dmei Pesach. Ra'ui hu limkar kodem gemar shchita velatzeis l'chulim she'in l'chamum kavua gadola mizeh. The dam of the Pesach. Rabbosa, listen to this. As soon as you begin to shecht this animal, as long as the animal is not yet shechted, what's the halacha? The halacha is you could redeem it. The animal could go for chulin, and the money could go for what? The money could go ultimately again for future Karban Pesach. So therefore, Rabbosa, because this animal still has what we'll call Pesach financial sanctity, therefore, again, it could still be said that you're shechting it l'shem Pesach, even if you hold eino l'shchita ela l'basof. V'chitema avoy ha'amada v'haracha. Maybe you'll say, but one second, in order to do that, the animal needs assessment and evaluation. V'atnan, we learned, shachat b'ashtayim v'rov shtayim v'adayin himim v'achases harei kechaya v'chol d'varav. We'll say we learned explicitly that even if you shechted two of the simanim, or rov of two of the simanim, as long as the animal is still convulsing, it is considered to be alive for all purposes. So we'll say we're going to discuss that in greater depth, but for our purposes, what that means is that halacha lemaisa, as long as the animal is still convulsing, it could even be redeemed. It could even be redeemed and have its sanctity transferred onto money. So in this case over here, if you go ahead and even if you hold eino l'shchita ela l'basof, so really Rabbi said that animal still has some type of Pesach identity. Why? Because even at the end of the shchita, even once the shchita is complete, as long as that animal is still convulsing, technically speaking, what can you do? You can redeem it, right? Redeem it, use that money for a future Korban Pesach, and the animal becomes chulin. So because that, Rabbi said you have the ability to hassle that animal even if you hold eino l'shchita ela l'basof. Fine, so we'll say these cases really are secondary to the primary issue at hand, which is, so what is the halacha? Do we hold yeshna l'shchita mitchila v'atzof or eina l'shchita mitchila v'atzof? We'll say, so do we say that shchita is only a process which culminates after you cut the two simanim, or is shchita the continuum process ultimately where what? Where it begins with the initial call it cut or incision and ends with the cutting of the simanim? We'll say, now remember again, we've been focusing on a couple of karbanic cases, but I just want to point out there are some real nafkamina cases. I'll give you the Rambam. Listen to this. This is the halacha, I will say. This is Hilchos Shchita, Perek Dalit, Halacha Yud Gimel. Listen to this nafkamina case. Hischil Akum Lishchot Miut Simanim, the Gomer Yisrael. Oh, Hischil Yisrael, the Gomer Akum Psula. So we'll listen to this case. I'll give you where this comes up. I don't know if it comes up, where it could come up. Let's say the Akum, you have a non-Jew, begin the Shchita, and I, the Yisrael, finish the Shchita. So we'll say, so what's the status of such a Shchita like that? If you hold Eino L'Shchita El Labasov, so really we're going to look at what? Who finishes it? If you hold Yeshna L'Shchita Mitrin Levatsov, so then the potential involvement of someone else could pass on the Shchita. So the Rambam says, Yeshna L'Shchitaso Mitrin Levatsov. We'll say the halacha is, we look at the act of Shchita as a continuum. That's halacha lemaisa. Yeshna l'shchita mitchila l'atzof. It's a continuum, and therefore, again, halacha lemaisa. It begins with the first incision, and ultimately, again, ends with the chumash. So, for example, perhaps the greatest nafkamina case. Remember the case yesterday, where you begin to shecht even miyut simanim, just a little bit of the animal outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but then the real shchita occurs inside. So remember again, that was an afkamina case. We now see that case would invalidate the karban, because the shchita is a continuum that begins from the initial incision to the cutting of the two simanim. And therefore, any invalidation during any part of that shchita invalidates the shchita as a whole. Incredible. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, we'll say weiter. Hashochit b'shnayim v'shlosha makomos. Let's listen to this next case. What happens if you shecht in two or three places? So let's say, so what does this mean? So remember again, the classic case of shchita, what's happening over here? One person, one cut, Shalom Yisrael. Now, Bosse, what's happening over here is you're cutting in two or three places. Rashi says over here, third to last line in Rashi, three lines up. I begin a cut in one place, then I begin a cut in another place, and I begin another cut. So at the end of the day, I will say, mission is accomplished, right? Because again, I've cut the robe of the simin, but the shayla is, what's the status of that type of shchita? So it says the Gemara, shchita sok shera. So what's the Gemara says, or the Yehuda says the name of Rav, the shchita is good. The shchita is good. So we'll say, so when I said this over in front of Shmuel, Shmuel said it's not good. Why? Because also you need what's called a shchita mefaras. So shchita mefaras, Rashi says over here, is megula, discernible, vinikeres, and recognizable. So Shmuel posits that we'll say you need what's called a shchita mefaras, which means a clear and discernible shchita, which is defined ultimately again as one cut in one place. Multiple cuts in multiple locations, Shmuel will say, is not good. Even Reish Lakish holds that you need a shchita mefaras, a clearly recognizable and discernible shchita, which also means a shchita in one place. Don Reb Shimon Lakish. Because Reish Lakish said, from where do we know that shchita has to be mefaras, clear and discernible, one cut in one place? Shnei Amar, Chetz shachot l'shonam mirma daber. So we'll say quotes over here, interesting enough, from the Pasuk from Yirmiyahu. The Pasuk says, literally again, their tongue slaughtered like an animal, like an arrow, mirma daber, from speaking slander. So we'll say, so what we're picking up over here is the use of the lashon of an arrow with shechita. We'll say, how does an arrow work? One straight cut. So the fact that the Navi is comparing again shechita to the arrow tells us shechita has to be one straight cut. So the Gemara says, "Masav Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar is the kasha. Shnayim ochsin besakin. Oh, right, beis ochsin besakin. Right, two people holding onto a knife, v'shochatin, and they are shechting. I feel echad milamala ve'echad milamata shechita sakshera. We will say even if one person. Now what this sounds like is one person is above. One person is below. We'll see what this means in just a moment. Right? We'll see what this means in just a moment. So, see, even if one's above, one's below, ultimately, again, the shechita is kasha. So, we'll say, so what's interesting over here is as follows. Rashi points out over here that we initially assume that beis ochzin besakin means two people holding two knives. One is holding on the top, one is holding on the bottom, and they are simultaneously going ahead and shechting. So, what do we say? Shechita sokshera. So we'll say, so now what is that? That's not a shechita miforas. And yet it seems to be that we're saying what? That halacha lemaisa, the shechita is good. Amai, v'aleka shechita miforas. So we'll say there is no clear and discernible shechita in one particular location. Amar li Rabbi Yirmiyah, mishna seinu b'sakin echad u'shnei b'nei adam. No. The mishnah is talking about one knife, two people. So we'll say, so what happens over here? One knife, two people. White people holding the knife on either side and doing the shechita like that. That's when the shechita is going to be okay. But perhaps two knives, Rabbi Osai, would not be good. Perhaps two knives would not be good. Omri Rabbi Abba, Ihachi, Haimib de Tani Allah. So we'll say, so that which we learned before. Ein choshishin shema yitrafu ze'al ze'. We'll say, we learned that even when two people are shechting, we're not concerned that they'll end up making it a trefa. So we'll say, what you have to be concerned with two people is what? Each one may rely on the other to cut rove of the simen. Right? So that makes sense. If we're talking about a case of two knives and two people, they're both doing their shechita thing, and we might have thought it might have to be concerned that maybe neither will cut the robe of the simen. Why? Because each one thinks the other is cutting the robe of the simen. Which the Gemara says, no, you don't have to worry about Shema Yitrafu. See, Amit Bishlam Shnei Sakinu Shnei B'nei Adam Shapir. So I'll say, ultimately, again, if you say we're talking about a case of two people with two knives, then I understand the Lashon of the Raisa. So Ma'adatim, what would I have thought? Lechosh dilma samchi ahadadi. I might have thought that they are relying on one another. V'hai lo asile me aved ruba. V'hai lo asile me aved ruba. And I will say, what ends up happening? Neither will end up cutting the rove. Why? Because I will say, like most times when a group of people are relying on one another to get something done, what usually happens, right? Everyone assumes the other is going to do the work. Therefore, again, I will say, kamash molan. I'm not concerned about that in this case. Kamash molan in choshishin. Rabbi say, if you tell me we're talking about a case of one knife with two people, Rabbi say, then the concern, if it's two people and one knife, so I say, the concern therefore is no longer that they won't cut the rope of the simen. Rabbi say, what's the potential concern? It's a concern of drasa. Right? Rabbi say, what's drasa? We're going to talk about this in greater depth. The halacha is shechita must be done through cutting and not through pressing. So you could take a knife and press it through the simanim. That's a psul by shechita. When you have two people holding one knife, Rabbi Osai, the concern is what? Drasa, right? The concern ultimately is just as a result of two people, they may end up pressing it down as opposed to cutting. So we'll say, if we're really dealing with two people, one knife, then the Brisa should have said we're not concerned for drasa. So Amrali Rabbi Abin Tani in Choshishin Shema Yidrasu Zalza. So we'll say, so indeed again, Rabbi Abin says, you're right, change the girsa. The girsa should actually read, we are not concerned that halacha lemaisa, they may come to do drasa one with the other. So we'll say, so we're left off right now, again, we haven't finished yet, but just understand where we're holding. We're focusing on this very interesting case about what happens if you shecht in two or three different places. Right? So we'll say, which gets to the fundamental machlokas about shechita. Is it that we just require the rove of the simanim to be cut, and as long as the rove of the simanim are cut, we're good to go? Or do you need what's called a shchita meforas? Or Rabbi say, ultimately, again, do I need a clear and discernible and recognizable shchita, which is only accomplished in one cut, in one place? So that's the machlokas where we are currently dealing with now. So Masiv Rabbi Abba. So Masiv Rabbi Abba raised another kasha. Masiv Rabbi Abba. Shachat es haveshat lemato vesakana lemalo. Oh, es haveshat lemalo vesakana lemato shchita asur kshera. But listen to this interesting case. What happens if you shat? Remember again, veshet is the esophagus, kana is the trachea. So say, let's say you cut the veshet on top and the kana on the bottom, or the veshet on the top and the kana on the bottom. So we'll say, what's happening in this case? See, as opposed to just, let's say, a classic shchita, which also would be what? Sorry. Straight through, right? What's happening over here is I'm cutting one siman on one level and another siman at a different level. So that's the halacha. Shchita so kshera. We'll say, the halacha, the shchita is good. Am I? Why is that? Halakha shchita mifaras. Rabbi say, ultimately, again, you don't have a clear and discernible shchita. Rabbi say, the assumption that the Gemara is making over here is that what? I'm going to cut the veshet, and then in a separate act of cutting, I'm going to cut the kana. So I say, so what's the problem? Both simanim are cut. The problem I'm encountering is what? The problem I'm encountering is that it's not what's called a shchita mifaras. So what do I do? So Gemara says, and yet the Gemara said, now what do I do? But the Gemara says, yet it's kosher. So it appears based on this that what? You do not require shchita mefaras. So the Gemara says, who most of all, who mefarakli? He answers it, no. Shchita asui ka kumos. Rabbi will say, this is a shchita that is like a kumos. Rabbi will say, kumos literally means like a quill or a reed. Rabbi will say, what it means is ba'alachsom. Rabbi will say, the image you have to have in mind is, as opposed to a shchita like this, straight across, you're doing shchita at a slant. So I'll say, if you're doing shchita at a slant, which, by the way, you could imagine could very easily happen in a shchita, depending on how the animal is positioned. The shochet's not cutting straight across like this. He's cutting up or he's cutting down. So I'll say, in a case like that, what ends up happening is you cut one of the simonim higher and one of the other simonim lower. But that's still called what? Shchita mifaras. That's still, see, the idea of shchita mifaras, I'll say, is what? Is one cut. See, even if that one cut is at a slant, we're okay with that. That's fine. It doesn't have to be level. It could be a slant, but the idea is that it should ultimately, again, be one clear cut. Ha'utura de'ishchat b'shnayim u'shloshim makomos. Most listen to this. There was an ox. Right? There was a cow that was shechted in two or three different places. So we'll say it was shechted. And it was shechted, again, as we said before, by two or three different cuts in two or three different places. Right? Al Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, Shakal Mishipuri Shufri. So this is what happens. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta came and took from the nicest pieces of meat. Which Rose says, another way of saying, Shchita was kosher. Right? It was good. He took himself a couple of nice steaks. Amar Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera says to him, Rabbi, the Maratana Rabbeinu Mishnasinu B'Shnei Sakim Yobeiz B'Nei Adam. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. There's a Machlokas Rashi Tosus here about how exactly to read this line. So Rabbi Zira says to Rabbi Yitzchak, the Maratana Rabbeinu, Rabbi, you taught us that the Mishnah is talking about two people and two knives. Look at Rashi. Mishnasinu, right? Mishnasinu diktani shnaim ochsin b'sakin, afilu b'shnei sakin and kamachsher. So ultimately, Rabbi, you write this. So according to Rashi's version, Rabbi Zera is saying, oh, Rabbi, the fact that you're taking of this meat reinforces the way you taught us the Mishnah. Because what did you tell us, the Mishnah? That even if you have two or three people shechting at two or three different places on the same animal, the shchita is good. And now again, you've backed up your teaching with what? With what? With the fact that you're taking the steaks from the animal. Tosa says something a little bit different. Tosa says, Limaratan Rabbeinu, Tap Tosa, Slamad Amadeis, Limaratan Rabbeinu, Mishasin, Mishnei, Sikhein, Mishnei, Bnei Adam, Masha, Shekhein, Halacha, Tibishnei, Mishosh, Makamu, Shchita, Sok, Shera. Ubahag, Garis, Limaratan Rabbeinu, Mishasin, Bissakin, Echad, Ubeiz, Bnei Adam, Kilomar, Veheich ata ochel. So we'll say, according to Tosis is saying that Rabbi Zera was telling Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi, this is not what you taught us. Right? You taught us that shchita in two or three places by two or three people is not good. And now what? You're taking from the stakes of the animal. So Rabbi Zera is asking a kasha on his Rabbi. And the Bosei says Tosis, so it's quite possible that Rabbi Yitzchak ultimately went ahead and retracted his original opinion, and then paskin that halacha lamaisa shechita in two or three places is good. Fine. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, which by the way is the halacha, that although ideally we like a shechita mefaras, we like one straight, clearly discernible cut. If you end up shechting the animal in two or three different places, as long as it's rov of the siman and the shechita will be good. Again, not ideal. We like shechita mefaras, but shechita bebeis, but shnayim gimel makomos is going to be kosher. Rav Yudam Rav, listen to this. So now, the Gemara is quoting a halacha that has nothing to do with this context, because we're going to get into the psul of chalada. So we'll say chalada ultimately literally means borrowing. Borrowing in this case means, as in a normal case of shechita, you're going ahead and taking the knife from the outside of the animal, cutting in. Borrowing means, Rabosai means, you somehow get the knife in between the simanim and cut the simanim from the inside of the animal. So that's the best way. It's called borrowing, right? You get into the animal and kind of cut the simanim from the inside. So the Gemara is going to devote significant time to this definition and this psul. Right now, the Gemara is bringing it in very secondarily or tangentially, so we'll focus on it a bit superficially. So, if you borrow the knife in between the simanim, we'll say what this means is you somehow get the knife into the animal's neck. We'll discuss in greater depth later on how you do this. In between the two simanim, and you go ahead and what? And you go ahead and you cut the simanim from the inside, right? Bein simon l'simon upasku psula. Ultimately, again, the animal, the shechita, is pasul. Tachas ha'or, Rabbi say, if you somehow borrow the knife in the flesh of the animal, not between the simonim, so you end up cutting the simonim again without necessarily cutting the external flesh. Kshera, ultimately, again, it's good. Fine, makamash, Rabbi say, what's the chiddush over here? Today, we already learned this once. Oshe hechle des asakin tachas ha'sheni upasko. Rabbi say, if you went ahead and you borrowed the knife, right? Ultimately, again, tachas hasheni underneath the second simen upaskin. You cut the simen from the inside. Rabbi Yishaviv omer nevela. Rabbi Akiva omer treifa. Rabbi Yishaviv says it's a nevela. Rabbi Akiva says it's a treifa. So we'll say, see, this is interesting. So they have machlokes as to what the status of the animal is, but everyone agrees that what? That what? It's not kosher, right? So maybe it's a nevela, maybe it's a treifa. But one thing is clear, which is it's not kosher. So what's the chiddush? We already learned this. So say ultimately again, if from the Mishnah, I would have thought this is only true when milamata lemala. Ultimately again, when you are going, we'll say from what? When you did chalada, you borrowed the knife and you're cutting from in an upward fashion, going from the lower point to the higher point. Dilo ka'avit kiderach shita, because we'll say that is not the normative way you shecht. If you borrow the knife in a way where you're shechting the simanim again, going in a downward fashion, then the ka'avik kiderach shechita, imashapir dami, where Rabbi said that is more like a normative shechita cut, then maybe I would say that indeed that would be kosher. Kamashmalon tach asa ark shera. There, Rabbi said again, the Mishnah, therefore again, the Braisa teaches me that anytime you're borrowing the knife, whether you're cutting from top down or from bottom up, either way, again, it is going to be possible. Be Rav Amri, Tacha Sa'ar, any. I'm sorry, just lost the place. Kamashulan, Tacha Sa'ar, I'm sorry. Ema Shapir, Dami Kamashulan, Tacha Sa'ar, Ksher. I will say, if you go ahead and you borrow the knife underneath the flesh, but not in between this, but not in between this simanim. So be Rav Amri tachasar any odea. So I say, so in the yeshiva of Rav, they said we don't know the status of a shechita if one borrows the knife underneath the flesh, but not in between the simanim. So like I said, we're going to see all of these cases in greater depth later on. Ibayluhu lebe Rav to Amri tachasar any odea. So now the Gemara asks, according to be Rav, who says that if you borrow the knife underneath the flesh, we're not sure about the status of such a shechita or not. Is that called chalada? Tachas matlis mahu. We'll say, listen to this. Let's say the animal has a cloth tied around its neck, and you, quote unquote, borrow the knife underneath the cloth. So also what this means is, instead of removing the cloth to do the shechita, you put the knife underneath the cloth and you do the shechita like that. Mahu. Ultimately, again, what is the status of such a shechita like that? Do we say that that's called chalada? Because I will say again, essentially, the idea that shechita has to be done on an exposed surface. And any time you go ahead and you put the knife under a surface, even if it's something external to the animal, like the cloth tied around the neck of the animal, that's still chalada. Furthermore, again, tachas semer mesubach ma'ot. We'll say what happens if, for example, the animal has wool, right? That is knotted wool by the neck of the animal. So instead of just cutting that hair off, you place your knife underneath that wool and cut like that. Is that called chalada or not? Ma'u, to which the Gemara says, teku. Furthermore, Papa asks, what happens if I say if you did chalada, you did this borrowing, but what? You only went ahead and cut miot simanim, only some of the simanim like that, but you didn't do the whole shechita like that. What's the status of the shechita? Again, to which the Gemara says, teku. Now Rashi points out over here, by teku, Rashi says, ulechumra. So Rebbe say again, in these cases of teku, where ultimately, again, we don't have a resolution, you have to go lechumra and ultimately say the shechita is possible. Beautiful. Here we go, by Rebbe say, Mishnah. This is great. Someone shechts two animals at once. We'll say, so remember again, what's the case over here? You line up two animals, mamish, one next to the other. And with one swipe of the knife, you are shechting two animals. What's the halacha? Kshera. Ultimately, again, the shechita will be good. That's case number one. Next. Shnaim ochsin besakin v'shochtin. So it's like two people are holding onto a knife. And ultimately, again, they're shechting. In this case, they're shechting one animal. So what's the halacha? Afilu echad l'mala ve'echad l'mata shechita so kshera. So remember again, we already, it's a little bit anticlimactic, because we the havamina is, this would be a case of what? Two people in with two knives. We already saw before that this is really a case of two people with one knife. Afilu echad l'mala ve'echad l'mata. Even if it appears if they're standing more like at an angle, right? Ultimately, again, shechita so kshera. The shechita will be good. Hittis es harosh bebasachas psula. This is actually an interesting case. If during shechita you end up lopping off the knife, the head, right, decapitating the animal in one fell swoop, the shechita is kosher. The shechita is possible. Now we'll say, now what's the logic over here? You see, the Mishnah is working under the assumption that in order to decapitate the animal in one fell swoop, what are you doing? What are you doing? You're chopping, you're not cutting. So you must remember again, shechita has to be molech umevi. It has to be like a sawing, cutting-like motion. It cannot be chopping. So the assumption over here is if you're getting off the head of the animal in one fell swoop like that, then halacha lemaisa, that is not cutting, that is going to be chopping, and therefore will be possible. Haya shochet v'hetes zarsh v'vasach. So I will say, if you were cutting, you are doing a shechita, and again, either because of the sharpness of the knife or your incredible shechita dexterity, you are lopping off the head. You're decapitating the animal in one cut. So we'll say, so what's talacha? Im yesh pesakin malei tzavek shera. So we'll say, in that case, and we'll discuss this more in the Mishnah, if the knife, Rabbi say, see, what we're concerned about over here is as follows. If you did the shechita and decapitated the animal in one cut, so we'll say essentially what we need is to make sure that you actually cut and didn't chop. How do we know that? What's the length of the blade? If the length of the blade, Rabbi say, is at least the length of the neck, then we know that with one fell swoop, with one fell cut of the blade, you cut through the entire width of the neck. And therefore, it's possible if it's exceptionally sharp that it went through the entire neck and decapitated the animal. So we'll say, so again, in order for that to be okay, the length of the blade has to correspond ultimately again to the entire width of the neck. So we'll say, this guy is mamish, like a superstar. Listen to this. Right? If he's shechting two animals and he decapitated, not only shechted, but he decapitated two animals at once, then what? Then yesh besakin malay tzavar echad kshera. Then I must say, ultimately, again, same thing. And again, we'll discuss this more in the Gemara. But halacha lemaisa, again, we'll have to see what this means, because it sounds like what the Mishnah is saying is, even if you're shechting two animals, as long as the blade has the length of one neck, and even if you end up decapitating the animal, the shechita will still be good. So we're going to further define this in the Gemara. When is this true? Suppose like the shayla only comes up in cases where what? Where the shechita is being accomplished ultimately again in one motion. Either what we call a halacha or a hava, right? You're only moving the blade in one direction. So we'll say that's where, see, when you're shackling the animal and all you needed was a movement of a blade in one direction, that's when we have a concern of what? Of chopping and not cutting. So as long as, therefore we say, as long as the blade has a minimum length of the width of the neck, we're confident that in fact you sawed, you cut, and you did not chop. However, again, listen to this, Rabosai. However, avalim holich vehevi, Rabosai, if you are moving the knife back and forth, then afilu kosher, then Rabosai, there is no minimum size for the blade. This is actually very interesting. When we speak about a shear for the blade, that is only if you're accomplishing shechita in one fell swoop, right? In one cut. That's when you need the minimum size of the blade is the width of the neck of the animal. But if the way you shecht is to go back and forth, and you're going back and forth repeatedly, Rabosai, then what? Then the halacha is afilu kolshu. Then whatever size of the blade you have is totally fine. Afilu bi'izemel, even Rabosai in izemel, we'll discuss it like a plane, right? Or a chisel, right? Afilu bi'izemel, afilu bi'kli, afilu bi'izemel ksher. Rabosai, even a kli, a sharp object, of the smallest size is fine. In other words, that the size of the blade only matters when you're cutting ultimately when? In one swoop. But if you're molech umevi, if you're going back and forth, then I will say, then the size of the blade does not matter. Then Allah says, even a very small blade is fine because we're confident that you're going to accomplish a proper shechita through holacha and tovah. Good. So I said, let's just go one more line. Minhani mili. So we'll say, ultimately, again, from where do we know? Now, from where do we know what? So we'll say, so the beginning of the Mishnah, when speaking about two people shechting, as we saw before, the issue or the concern is one of drasa, is one ultimately, again, of pressing. So from where do we know that I will say, ultimately, again, you can't press the knife into the neck of the animal, and that if you do so, it'll be possible. Amushmo de kamakra, chetz shachot lishonam mirma diber. So we'll say, as we saw before, that halacha lemaisa, the pasuk says, compares shechita to the arrow. Just as the arrow cuts, or I should say kills with cutting, so to shechita has to kill ultimately again with cutting and not with pressing. Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel v'shachat, ein v'shachat ela u'mashach. So Rabbi Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel says, the pasuk says v'shachat, and what is shachat? Shachat Rabbi means mashach. Ultimately again, to go ahead and to push and to pull. V'cheinu omer zahav shachut. I will say, and ultimately, as it says, Zav Shachot, which I will say means literally again, drawn out or pulled out gold. Really, what it means is hammered out gold. So, the Chin of the Omer, Chet Shachot, the Shonam Mirma Diber. My Vomer, so why does he quote the second pasuk? The Chitema, Zav Shachot, Shenitva Kichot, who mostly, maybe you'll say that Zav Shachot doesn't mean again, hammered gold, but rather it means golden thread. Tashma chetz shachot l'shan. So we'll say, so essentially, if you don't like the first pasuk, there's always the second pasuk of chetz shachot l'shan, which teaches me that what? That halacha l'maisa, again, halacha l'maisa, just as the chetz, the arrow kills, ultimately with cutting, so to shechita has to be done with cutting. We'll say, take a look at Rashi just a moment. Zav shachot, mashach shuhu rach u'moshchin oso kein osin tzarfein l'choshes, chutin shosmein chutin. So we'll say, listen to this. So zav shachot means hammered gold. And we'll say, what do you do when you make hammered gold? You take something that is larger and thicker, and you hammer it out to thinner. The imagery there is that the shechita also we'll say, has to be something that is longer and thinner, i.e. a prolonged act of cutting. Right, we'll stop over here. We'll pick up bottom of Lamed and Hashem tomorrow.